It's always a pleasure to have journalist Conor Brummel joining me on the show. Conor, thanks so much for taking the time to check in with us here on iRadio. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Louise.
Not at all. So, Conor, I suppose the Tate brothers, they're at the forefront of what we call the manosphere, or people might know it as toxic masculinity. Can you explain to us what that is?
Yeah, of course. The manosphere kind of has been in the news a lot since, you know, the Netflix Adolescence TV show earlier on this year. But basically, it's the manosphere is a very collection of websites or blogs and online forums kind of promoting the idea of masculinity and misogyny and kind of opposition to feminism. And, you know, it kind of came about, it's been around since the 80s. It's kind of been a very anti-feminist movement since the 80s, but it's come to the forefront, especially in the last 10 years. You know, after like Gamergate in 2014 and stuff like that. And it's essentially where men go, where they feel, you know, othered, or they feel like, you know, they don't have power in today's society. And like they share anti-feminist rhetoric, or, you know, they slander kind of women. And I suppose especially like incels, it would be kind of the people who inherit these kind of forums, inhabit them. And incels obviously were talked a lot about in the Netflix series. And it's, you know, involuntary celibates who are men that, you know, feel like they can't get women to be romantically attracted to them or sexually attracted to them. And, you know, so they go online where they can kind of feel connection and community with other men who also feel othered. And I suppose in the manosphere, then you have the big actors like these masculinity influencers, such as Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate. You also have kind of Jordan B. Peterson. You have, you know, Ashton Hall. There's like so many people, and they all promote different things within this kind of sphere of masculinity, such as, you know, fitness influencers who like post videos about workouts, you know, anti-immigration you know, kind of rhetoric and stuff like that. So it's really kind of varied, and there's like so many different aspects to it. And I suppose the interesting thing about the manosphere is that it's becoming more mainstream and popular, which kind of, I would have thought that it was like the dark web. You kind of had to really go into the depths of, you know, the fringe on the internet to try and find this. But that's not the case. And what we're seeing now is a lot more kind of popularity, and it's becoming mainstream. It's on TikTok, it's on YouTube Shorts. You know, Andrew Tate has a podcast, it's on Spotify, and it's easily accessible. Where he talks about all of his theories and stuff like that. So it really is becoming more mainstream, and it's kind of scary in that way.
The ideologies that they're trying to drill into young men, they are pretty severe. I know you've mentioned some of them already, but what does it look like? You know, what way is it showing itself when we see these traits kind of being mimicked by young men?
Yeah, so like, you know, as I said already, these traits are being mimicked. Obviously, I haven't seen it in real life. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. This is where people are still having this conversation of like, oh, it's having this effect on young people. But actually, what does this mean? Because for me, I thought it was on the fringe. And then obviously, I wrote an article for the Irish Independent about this, where I spent a week kind of consuming all of this content, you know, on TikTok and listening to like the theories that Andrew Tate puts forward. You know, talking about kind of like the red pill theory, and where it's like a Matrix reference from like 1999, where, you know, people feel like governments are lying to people, and, you know, we have to wake up to the truth because governments aren't telling us the truth. You know, and then what happened, actually, I think in 2020, after Biden won the election, people started leaving America to go to like Eastern Europe because they felt the governments in the US were kind of being too liberal. So it's kind of anti-liberal ideologies and really promoting this idea of like, you know, you shouldn't kind of look after your mental health. You shouldn't look after, you know, you shouldn't care about consent because this is, you know, governments pushing these rhetorics. And, you know, there's been decades of research that show that this is false, you know, sort of way. But basically they don't believe that any of that research is real. Which is really interesting. And I think as well, one thing to really promote is that men are better than women. They're, you know, they should be alone. They kind of promote this idea of being alone and being strong and like not looking at your feelings. I think as well, one of the masculinity influencers that I was listening to kind of talked about, you know, we actually have rapists because men listen to their feelings. You know, we have school shooters because men listen to their feelings. Man who can control his feelings wouldn't be a school shooter because he wouldn't be angry enough or like loses anger enough to be a school shooter or a rapist. And obviously that's not what we kind of understand to be true. And, you know, so then if people are listening to this over and over again, it kind of becomes the truth in their eyes because these people who are successful billionaires, they're pushing this rhetoric. You know, they're kind of telling young people, if you follow my steps and you follow my principles, you can also become a billionaire. You can also become really masculine and really strong like me. And I think one of the things then that we don't actually take into consideration when listening to this rhetoric or talking about the manosphere is like the likes of Andrew Tate are making money off the back of this. So obviously they're going to push these narratives, and they're obviously going to try and sell themselves as kind of sex gurus or like gods to young people. And I think that's really dangerous because we are, like I said, seeing this manifest itself in sexual violence against women. We're seeing a rise in the far right across the world, across the political spectrum, and there's links between the manosphere and the far right. And so that's kind of like, that's the scary idea about it. And, you know, what do we do next and where do we go from here? Is
Because I was going to ask you, obviously there are people consuming this content and maybe they don't fully understand how monetized this content is. Like that the likes of these influencers, that they are making money from it.
Yeah, they are making money for it, and it's you know, you would wonder how they're making money for it, but it's obviously because people are like, you know, donating to their causes or like buying services that they're providing or buying, you know, Bibles that they're putting out there. And it's and also from advertising on social media as well. And I think social media platforms really have to crack down on this. Because like I said, you know, if people aren't having these open and honest conversations with young people and telling them, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what they can and cannot do, they're obviously going to be drawn to this idea of a billionaire with a really nice Rolex watch who has a six pack and has a really fancy car. You know, none of these things obviously appeal to me. And obviously I'm 26, so I've, you know, I've lived my life. I've learned kind of what's right and wrong. And that's not to say as well that these young people are doing anything wrong, because, you know, they're just being influenced, and it's, you know, the kind of moral compass they need to be guided. And, you know, when talking to young people about this, I think you need to also understand what they find attractive about these influencers in this sphere. So like looking at them and thinking like, you know, this person's a really nice car and this is why you really like this person. But also then having this conversation about like boundaries and consent and, you know, obviously violence as well, because you can't have them manifest violence outside the home or in the home even. And especially when it comes to gender roles as well, and having those open conversations about gender roles and really kind of reinforcing the idea that men and women are equal and that they're one not better than the other. And obviously, yeah, just kind of having those open conversations is really important, you know, because people are benefiting from this, and it's actually not the young person themselves.
What would you like to see being done to try and change mindsets, do you think?
I think as well, like for years and years and years, I really, really believe that there should be stronger consent education in schools. It's something that I've always really felt compassionate about and passionate about, and I don't think it's kind of happened. You know, in Ireland, we're notoriously bad for the like talking about sex, talking about sex education, especially. Like, I don't think I ever really had sex ed in school, and I think a lot of people would have the same experience. And if you did have it, it was basically just like tick a box the exercise. So I think stronger kind of reinforcement of, you know, consent education in schools is really important. I think as well, also just digital literacy kind of education as well. I think that's a really strong point that, you know, people also miss out on. Digital literacy and media literacy skills are lacking, you know, amongst the population in Ireland and also in a lot of countries across the EU even. You know, kind of teaching young people how to like see what's real and what's fake, and like what is kind of propaganda being put forward by like bad faith actors in the media. So I think that would be a really good one, is like digital literacy skills being taught in schools, also consent education being the kind of reinforced, and generally just kind of, you know, governments cracking down on social media platforms and like making them divert algorithms, also kind of banning the likes of Andrew Tate. We saw that like Twitter before, I think Elon Musk bought it, Donald Trump was banned on the platform. I think is also Andrew Tate was kicked off the platform, but they've been allowed back on. And it's kind of, you know, looking at what influence these people have and how we can limit that, but also in a way that, you know, teaches people to also be open and like be open to free speech and open to things like this, as long as it doesn't damage other people.
I could actually have a chat to you all day about this. I think you're so knowledgeable, and it's so great to bring this onto radio to have a chat about. Connor, where can people maybe read your article if they want to find out more about you, and of course, if they want to follow any of the other articles that you're writing, or else follow you online?
Yeah, so I share all my kind of content online on my Instagram, Connor Brummel. And then, yeah, if they want to read the most recent article on the manosphere, that's on the Irish Independent.ie. If you just search that and my name, and you'll find it.
Ah, brilliant. Connor, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and I look forward to catching up with you again very, very soon.
Thanks a million, Louise.